A blue bar crosses a black background and condenses into a circle. Touchstone Pictures. A golden light slides along the letters and flashes into a lightning bolt through the circle. A bright orange goldfish swims along the black screen. Blue overlapping letters appear. Touchstone Pictures presents, in association with Touchwood Pacific Partners 1, a Laura Ziskin production, a Frank Oz film. The goldfish swims over and around the blue letters. Bill Murray. Richard Dreyfuss. The goldfish wiggles between the letters. What about Bob? Julie Haggerty. Charlie Korsmo. Catherine Irby. The goldfish, now in a small glass fishbowl, darts through plastic plants.
I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful. I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful.
In a bedroom filled with pill bottles, antiseptics, and emergency procedure charts, a middle-aged man with wild hair rubs his temples fervently on the bed. He brushes his teeth and tongue with luster. Casting by Glenn Daniels. Music by Miles Goodman. Cleaning his short-sleeved dress shirt with a lint roller, he leans down to the fish. Costume designer Bernie Pollock.
Good morning, Gil. I said good morning, Gil.
Film editor Ann V. Coates, ACE.
I gotta go to work. See ya.
He sits at his desk less than a foot away and punches in on a time card. Production designer Les Dilly. The man takes a phone off its cradle and gets to work. A clock reads 12:14. Hands at his sides, the man strides into the kitchen. He turns and stares at his door. He stops short.
Wish me luck, Gil.
Wearing a beige jacket, the man slips into a tight tan hallway. He turns sideways, careful not to touch the walls. Director of photography, Michael Ballhaus. Co-produced by Bernard Williams. Reaching the end of the hall, the man briefly closes his eyes and retrieves a tissue from his pocket. He turns a doorknob with his tissue-covered hand. Shoulder stiff, he steps down to the trash-covered street. Story by Alvin Sargent and Laura Ziskin. Screenplay by Tom Schulman. Produced by Laura Ziskin. Two young men with a boombox pass the man as he gingerly throws the tissue away. A garbage truck speeds by, leaving the man cowering on his hands and knees in its wake. Directed by Frank Oz.
Doctor, it's your wife on the phone.
Thank you, Claire. Faye, are we sitting down? My publisher thinks it's going to happen. Yeah, he thinks Good Morning America is coming up to Lake Winnipesaukee next week to interview me. It's a tremendous shot in the arm for my book. Yeah, no, it's very unusual. Well, I think they did visit Dr. Ruth's house once, but other than that... Hold on a second, honey. Yes?
Excuse me, doctor, but there's a Dr. Carswell Finsterwald on the phone.
Thank you. Faye, I have to go. There's another colleague on the phone. Boy, they sure do come out of the woodwork when you're famous. Goodbye, dear. Carswell!
Leo!
Long time no see, huh? You got a big book out. Things are really clicking, huh?
That's the way I planned it.
Listen, Leo, I'm quitting my practice for a while. I'm leaving town, and I have one patient I'd like to refer to you.
Exactly what kind of a case is it, Carswell? He's not psychotic, is he?
No, nothing like that. No, listen, his name is Bob Wiley. He pays early. He comes on time, and he just needs someone brilliant, Leo.
You know, I know that you don't like flattery, but... if there's anyone I know who could win the Nobel Prize, it's you.
Well, I suppose I could find an hour for him sometime after Labor Day. Okay, I'll work him in for an interview.
Say, Carswell, how come you're quitting the business?
We're a dying breed, Leo. Good luck.
Leo frowns. In his nearly empty office, Carswell grins.
Free.
Claire, if a Bob Wiley calls, schedule him for a short interview right after I get back from my vacation.
He's already called, Dr. Marvin, twice. He's your next appointment.
That's persistence.
Bob speedwalks down the bustling New York street.
I feel great. I feel wonderful. I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful. I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful. I feel good.
He reaches an office building with a bronze revolving door and uses his feet to kick it forward, keeping his hands close to his chest. A security guard in a pristine suit watches Bob shake off his hands.
Can I help you, sir? Yes. Dr. Marvin, Dr. Leo Marvin.
Second elevator, 44th floor.
Thank you. Elevator?
Bob's smile drops. He heads toward the elevator but stops at the sight of a janitor mopping the floor. As suggested by the yellow caution signs, Bob tiptoes carefully past the janitor. Bob takes another tissue and uses it to press the call button for the elevator. People file out of and into the elevator. Bob grimaces and takes two struggling steps forward before stopping just outside the doors. He cringes and backs up, unable to will himself inside. One tissue-covered hand on the steel banister, Bob fights his way up 44 winding flights of stairs. Bob bursts into Leo's waiting room and immediately checks his pulse. Leo's secretary scrutinizes him.
Bob.
Bob Wiley?
He nods.
Why don't you sit down? It'll be a few minutes.
Still holding his wrist, Bob plops down onto the side table between the waiting room chairs. As he recovers, he shrugs.
Dr. Marvin, Bob Wiley.
Thank you. Thank you for working me in.
Hello.
He handshakes with the tissue.
Should I call you Dr. Marvin or Leo?
Whichever you'd like.
Call me Bob.
Bob?
Is that your family?
Yes.
Oh, wait, let me guess. I'm very good at this. That's Harriet, and then Ronnie, Gretchen, and Rita. Wait a second. Cecilia, Dorothy, and this is Kenneth, and Bambi.
This is my son, Sigmund, and my wife, Faye, and my daughter, Anna, and that's my sister, Lily.
Lily, I was close. It's a beautiful family.
Thank you. Have a seat.
Bob looks uncertainly at the chair across from Leo's desk before settling into it. Leo leans back, shakes out his sleeves, and examines Bob closely, his forefingers and thumb placed against his chin.
Why don't I start?
Huh?
The simplest way to put it? I have problems.
Leo remains expressionless.
I worry about diseases, so I have trouble touching things. In public places, it's almost impossible. I have a real big problem moving.
Talk about moving.
As long as I'm in my apartment, I'm okay. But when I want to go out, I get weird.
Talk about weird.
Talk about weird. Well, I get dizzy spells, nausea, cold sweats, hot sweats, fever blisters, difficulty breathing, difficulty swallowing, blurred vision, involuntary trembling, dead hands, numb lips, fingernail sensitivity, pelvic discomfort.
So the real question is, what is the crisis, Bob? What is it that you are truly afraid of?
What if my heart stops beating? What if I'm looking for a bathroom, I can't find it, and
my bladder explodes. Have you ever heard of Tourette's syndrome?
Mm-hmm.
Involuntarily shouting profanity?
It's exceptionally rare.
Shit eating son of a bitch! Bastard! Douchebag! Twat! Numbnut! Dickhead! Bitch!
Why exactly are you doing this?
If I fake it, then I don't have it. You know, it's the same with the cardiac arrest.
Bob jolts forward, eyes bulging. He clutches his chest as he topples to the floor on his back.
Are you married?
I'm divorced.
Would you like to talk about that?
There are two types of people in this world. Those who like Neil Diamond and those who don't. My ex-wife loves him.
I see. So what you're saying is that even though you are an almost paralyzed, multiphobic personality and is in a constant state of panic, your wife did not leave you. You left her because she liked Neil Diamond.
No, you're saying that maybe I didn't leave her because she likes Neil Diamond, but maybe she left me?
Yes.
Ow. 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 Ow.
Bob clambers back into the chair, hand on his side.
Dr. Marvin, you can help me. For the first time in my life, I feel like there's hope. I feel like I can be somebody.
Bob, there's an old saying that the best psychiatrist in the world is the one right inside of you.
Yeah.
I can help you. Yes.
Thank you.
Bob, there is a groundbreaking new book that has just come out. Ah. Now, not everything in this book, of course, applies to you, but I'm sure that you can see, when you see the title, exactly how it could help.
Baby steps?
It means setting small, reasonable goals for yourself, one day at a time. One tiny step at a time.
Baby steps.
For instance, when you leave this office, don't think about everything you have to do in order to get out of the building. Just think of what you must do to get out of this room. And when you get to the hall, deal with that hall, and so forth. You see?
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Oh, boy. Baby steps.
Bob deliberately takes baby steps across the floor.
Baby steps through the office. Baby steps out the door. It works. It works. All I have to do is take one little step at a time, and I can do anything. Baby step around the office. Baby step around
Leo
the
smiles
office.
Warmly.
That should give you a lot to digest while I'm on vacation.
Vacation?
Oh, certainly, my secretary told you. As of this afternoon, I'm taking my family on vacation until Labor Day.
That's a month. What if I need you? What if I need to talk?
Well, my associate, Dr. Harmon, would be happy to talk. And Bob, I'll be back. Just read baby steps.
Baby steps out of the office.
Very good.
Baby steps to the hall.
Very good, Bob. Keep going. That's it. Bye. I'll see you in a month.
Baby steps to the elevator. Baby steps to the elevator.
Leo picks up a tape recorder.
July 31st, Bob Wiley, introductory interview. Multiphobic personality, characterized by acute separation anxiety and extreme need for family connections. Bill the usual rate for the interview and $29.95 for the book.
It's your publisher?
He says Good Morning America is definitely coming to Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yes! Thank you.
Bob cringes at the elevator stuffed with people. He nods to himself.
Baby step onto the elevator.
Baby steps into the elevator. I'm in the elevator.
He smiles as the doors close. Later, in his apartment, Bob lays in bed and sobs, clutching the phone to his chest. An operator listens on the other line.
Mid-Manhattan Exchange.
Yes, this is Bob Wiley. I'm a patient of Dr. Marvin's. I have to speak with him right away. It's urgent.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wiley, but Dr. Marvin's
It's Bob. And you are?
Betty.
Betty, hi.
Bob, Dr. Marvin's out of town and Dr. Harmon's taking his calls.
Bob holds back tears.
I know that, Betty. It's just that there's been some confusion. I was supposed to call Dr. Marvin, but I've lost his phone number.
Bob, I can't give out that number.
I know that, Betty. But you could call him on the other line and tell him that I'm on hold on the other line, couldn't you, please? Thanks, Betty, please.
Sailboats glide along the lake. A boy carries a lawn chair. They come from a colonial-style lakeside house with a large front porch and circular drive. On the porch.
Morning, Daddy.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, sweetheart.
Yes?
Dr. Marvin, this is Betty at your exchange. I'm sorry to disturb you, but I have a Bob Wiley on the line who says you'll want to talk to him.
Betty, you know better than that. Dr. Harmon is covering for me.
I told him that, Doctor, but he said he lost your number and that it was urgent.
All right, put him through.
Go ahead, Bob.
This is Dr. Marvin. What's the problem, Bob?
Dr. Marvin, how's the weather up there?
What?
How's your brood? Y'all getting a chance to relax?
Bob, I thought I made it clear to you that I'm on vacation.
Well, I know, but I'm just worse than usual this time, really bad.
Bob, if this is really an emergency, go to the emergency room. And if it isn't, call Dr. Harmon. I'm sure he can help you.
Well, I'd just feel so much better if I knew where you were. It's Martha's Vineyard, right?
Bob.
Well, can't we just talk?
Yes, we can. In my office, after Labor Day.
After you're back from Fire Island, huh?
Goodbye, Bob.
What, you want to keep Maine all to yourself?
Goodbye, Bob.
Leo hangs up.
Is this a fake hang-up? It's a fake hang-up.
Later, at dinner.
I'll get the phone. I'll get the phone. Hello?
Doctor, it's Betty again. I have an urgent call from your sister.
My sister? Put her through.
Go ahead.
On the other line, a woman in a pink and black bustier hands Bob the payphone.
It's not you. It's me.
He pockets the antiseptic spray.
Lily, what's wrong?
Dr. Marvin, please don't be angry. This is Bob. I know that I shouldn't be calling
Bob,
you here.
The doctor-patient relationship is based on trust. When you call me and pretend to be my sister, I can't trust you anymore. Go to the emergency room, but please do not call me here again.
Oh, no, no. That was not smart. That was not smart.
Betty reads a book at her station.
Who is it?
Detective Roberts from Homicide. I have some questions about a Bob Wiley.
What? That was the Bob who kept calling Dr. Marvin.
Bob holds up a fake badge.
That was that Bob who kept calling. Unfortunately, Bob committed suicide about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
Very sad. Should never have happened. He was a very sweet guy. But he did leave a note, however. He mentioned the name Betty.
She's Betty.
I'm Betty.
Oh. So you're Betty.
Bob called here trying to reach his psychiatrist.
Oh. Well, where is he? I'll have to ask him some questions, too.
Dr. Marvin's on vacation in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
I can get him on the phone for you.
Good.
No, don't. If I really need to, I can have somebody from NHPD drop by, you know. But what if I wanted to write him a letter? Would you have a mailing address of some kind up there?
Oh, sure. That's, P.O. Box 14.
Yes.
Lake Winnipesaukee.
Which is spelled
W-I-N-N-I-P-U-S-A-U-K-E-E. That's two N's.
Two E's.
E-E. Two N's, two E's. Thank you very much, ladies. I'm crazy about you, especially you, Betty.
Betty smiles as he exits. In a dark bedroom, Leo stirs in his sleep.
Better not be who I think it is.
He claps a light on.
Hello? What? All right. Thank you for calling, Betty. It was the service. That patient, the one who called before?
Mm-hmm.
He committed suicide.
Oh, Leo, how horrible.
Oh, well. Let's not let it spoil our vacation.
The light turns back off. Meanwhile...
Baby steps, get on a bus. Baby steps, get on a bus.
Bob slinks toward and then past the bus door. He carries Leo's book and a glass jar with Gil in it around his neck.
Last baby steps, hold it.
This is the last bus to Winnipesaukee, Bob.
Yes, I know, Wing. Thank you. Baby steps toward the bus. Baby steps toward the bus. Baby steps toward the bus.
You think you can do it today, Bob? We have a baby schedule to keep.
Bob dumps 2 days' worth of pills from a weekly pill container into his hand and downs them.
Baby steps toward the bus. Baby step down the aisle. Baby step down the aisle. Then sit in the seat. Hello, I'm Bob. Would you knock me out, please? Just hit me in the face.
As the sun rises, the bus drives down an empty freeway out of the city. Leo's family car is parked outside of Lake Winnipesaukee's general store.
We have enough to feed the entire film crew here?
Hi, we have enough to feed the entire network.
Well, great. Another vacation that's not a vacation.
Why do I have to dress up for this stupid show?
What do you mean? You've already tried on everything you own.
I have not.
All right. Gosh.
He shakes his head at the store clerk.
It's probably going to be a short interview anyway. You know, just me and the family and my book.
The bus cruises past open green fields and farmland. Inside, Bob sits at the back.
Easy, fella. We're almost there.
The few passengers left look back at him gagging into a bag.
False alarm.
The bus pulls up to the Winnipesaukee stop, right next to the general store. Bob tumbles off the bus.
Is this a bad time?
Leo glares at Bob from the end of his station wagon.
Oh, the fam.
As Bob leans over to get a better look, Leo marches past him to the other side of the building. After a moment, Bob chases after him.
Who's that?
I don't know.
What are you doing?
doing here?
I thought you were dead.
Oh, no, I told you. Well, I fibbed a little bit, but don't be mad.
Bob, your behavior is completely inappropriate.
You're angry.
No, I don't get angry.
Well, you're upset.
I don't get upset.
Well, then let's have a little talk.
Bob, I do not see patients on vacation ever. How many ways can I make that clear? Now, what I'd like you to do is to get on this bus and go back to New York.
I can't. I'm totally paralyzed. I'm all locked up.
You got yourself here.
Barely.
Well, getting back will be therapeutic.
But can't we just have a little talk?
Bob, you are testing my patience.
Come on. I've come so far.
Bob,
I'm baby stepping. I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping. I'm not a slacker.
Listen to me.
Check it out. Look at it. I'm in really bad shape. Come on, please.
Bob,
please.
Bob.
Give me. I need.
Bob.
Give me.
Okay.
Please.
All right. All right, it's 2:00. Go to the bus station, buy yourself a ticket home, and then wait for me in that coffee shop.
You'll meet me?
I'll call you in 2 hours.
Oh, my God, you're the greatest.
No, just you have to promise me that you will buy your ticket and go home.
Absolutely. I'm going to do it right now.
All right, I'll call you at 4:00.
You couldn't possibly make it 3:30, could you?
Bob!
Four, okay. Exactly, 4:00. It's better. Okay. Thank you, Dr. M.
A wall clock reads 3:00.
Baby step to 4:00. Baby step to 4:00. Baby step to 4:00.
Rocking on his heels, Bob stares hard at the clock. The other patrons and owners eye him suspiciously.
Oh, my gosh. I need a bowl.
What?
He's been locked in for about 8 hours. He's about to scream. He's furious.
They bring him a jug of water.
Sorry, Gil. A little negligence on my part. There you go. Come on, hang tight, fella.
Geronimo!
He pours Gil in.
It was a long ride, wasn't it? I know.
You need a stretch.
Hey! No! I'm expecting a phone call.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it. Also, if I lose consciousness or black out or something explodes, would you tell Dr. Marvin when he calls that I was here
early? Dr. Leo Marvin?
Do you know him?
Yeah. He bought our dream house. He worked a lifetime to save for a down payment.
And he swooped down with his bag full of money and grabbed it out from under us. Son of a bitch.
She never says that.
Stay as far away from him as possible.
Well, that'll be easy. He won't see me. That's why I'm waiting for the phone call.
He won't see you. Well, we'll show you where he lives.
You will?
The son of a bitch.
She never says that.
Ziggy, I have the whole house to fix, all the art to hang. I have no idea what I'm going to wear on the TV show. But I have stopped everything in order to teach you how to dive. Because it is as important for me to see you dive as it is for me to appear on Good Morning America.
Oh, man, this is really precious.
Come on, take off your robe.
Sigmund shrugs off a black robe begrudgingly.
Why are you always wearing black? What is it with you and this death fixation?
Maybe I'm in mourning for my lost childhood.
Leo points.
All right, come on, turn around. Toes at the edge, that's it. Remember what we learned last year, okay? 1, 2, 3, spring. Now, bend at the knees, bend at the waist, hands out, stiff as a board. 1, 2, 3, spring!
1, 2, 3, spring. Spring. Summer, fall, time to go, Dad.
I don't understand. Why won't you dive?
With all the horror that's going on in the world, what difference does it make?
Sigmund stalks back to the house, leaving Leo on the dock.
I'm just calling to remind you about Leo's surprise party. Thursday night, 7:00, okay? Well, it'll be after his interview, so he should be relaxed. Oh, wait a minute.
Sigmund marches inside.
Oh, well, of course I'm thrilled, Lily. The last person they interviewed on vacation was Dr. Ruth. Uh-huh. Oh, here he comes. Thursday night, 7:00. Don't forget. Okay, bye-bye.
Leo slumps past his wife.
He didn't dive?
No.
No, Now, come on, sweetheart. He's just a little afraid of it. Have patience.
No, it's not like I'm making him jump out of an airplane or anything. When I was growing up, I thought diving was fun.
I thought you were born grown up, Daddy.
He glances at his daughter and picks up the phone.
Yes, I'd like the number to the Gutman's Coffee.
Leo's eyes widen. Bob grins at him from outside.
What are you doing here?
I'm sorry, don't be mad. The Gutmans brought me. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. G.
You're welcome, Bobby. Hello, Dr. Marvin. The house looks good.
Burn in hell, Dr. Marvin.
Bob, we agreed that I would call you. Your coming here is unbelievably inappropriate.
Dad, can I,
Hi, you're Anna, aren't you? I saw your picture. I'm Bob.
Hi, Bob. Nice to meet you, Bob.
Hi, I'm Bob.
I'm Faye.
Oh, Mrs. M, you are even prettier than your picture. And younger.
Well, thank you.
Faye, Anna, would you please excuse us? I think Bob and I have something to talk about.
Really? You think so, too?
Let's take a walk.
Bob, could I take your fish?
Oh, yeah, thank you. He's already eaten. Don't let him tell you otherwise. This is a great place. No wonder the Gutmans wanted it. Whoa! I'm sorry about barging in here like this.
That's all right. I understand.
Faye and Probably. Anna examine Gil.
Bob, I'd like you to take a long look around you. What does everything you see here have in common?
Bob squints. He puts his hands on his hips and turns in a slow circle. Finally, he shrugs.
Vacation, Bob.
Vacation.
Now, I can't, Bob, at this time, give you the kind of therapeutic attention you need to solve all your problems, and you know why.
You're on vacation.
Exactly. But what I can do is this.
Don't give me pills. I already have pills.
This is not pills. Read it.
It says, take a vacation from my problems.
I'm giving you permission to take a vacation, Bob. Not a vacation from your work and not a vacation from your daily life, but a vacation
from my problems.
Exactly. Now, I want you to get on that bus and go back to New York. But every single time a problem arises, I want you to take that prescription out and follow it to the letter, doctor's orders. I'll see you in New York, in my office, in 1 month.
Hand on his chest, Bob chokes back tears.
This is incredible. This is astounding. For the first time since Esalen, I feel free. You've given me a great gift, doctor. The gift of life. You're a great man.
Bob throws his arms around Leo, squeezing tightly and knocking Leo's hat askew.
I knew coming up here was the right thing to do.
It feels right because you're here, and it feels right because you're leaving.
Have a great vacation.
You too, Bob.
A vacation from my problems! I bet I will!
There you go. Baby steps.
Bob kicks the driveway, trips, recovers, and then kicks sand up again. He waves as Leo grins back at him. Anna and Faye play cards in the kitchen.
Is everything all right, honey?
Yes, everything's perfectly fine.
He seemed pleasant enough.
Mm-hmm. When he's controlled.
Bob appears on the other side of the screen door.
I got so excited, I forgot to bring you with me. Gil?
Oh, the fish!
Bob notices four puppets of Leo's family on the mantle.
Well, that's a very nice likeness of you.
Thank you very much. It's very nice.
Of everyone, actually.
Bye, Bob. Bye-bye, Bob.
Bye-bye. So long. You've got to be Sigmund.
Yes, this is Sigmund, and this is Bob, and Bob is just leaving.
Hi.
Oh, this is Gil, my fish. Sigmund.
Did you get him on a lake?
No, yeah, city fish.
Cool.
But he's loving it up here.
Sigmund stares.
Your father is the most incredible psychiatrist. I certainly hope you appreciate him.
Have a great vacation, family.
Me too.
Goodbye, Bob.
Bye, Bob.
It's bye. Good to meet you.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, he's different.
Uh-huh. Need fish.
I think I do look younger than that picture.
Morning mist glides off the Silver Lake and into a violet sky. The Marvin's house is tucked amongst backlit trees. Leo poses by the mantel in a hunting jacket and pajamas.
Or?
He takes the rifle and fake duck off the mantel and replaces them with a black and white sketch and a bust of Freud. Faye's smile drops. His bored children watch as he frantically slips on a black sports coat and poses again.
This.
I told you, I like the rifle. I think it's a symbol of virility. Now, can I eat breakfast? I'm supposed to go sailing on George Stark's boat.
Wait, wait, wait. Faye, I need your opinion. Rifle or bust?
I think both looks are wonderful, sweetie.
Oh, Faye. No, I can't live with that kind of answer. I need feedback.
On the porch, Bob rings an iron bell attached to the house, a wildflower bouquet in one hand. Leo pales at the sight of him.
Good morning, Dr. Marvin. No, these aren't for you. They're for Faye. For yesterday, for your hospitality to Gil and me. I didn't say thank you. I thought about what you said, take a vacation from my problems, and I did.
But you're back.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No, I'm not. I'm on vacation. This isn't an appointment. I'm dropping by. This is my first time over the lake. This is my first time anywhere. I'm a little anxious because I haven't figured out how to get food yet, but I'm staying at the Gutmans. When I told them what you said, they insisted.
No, 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 no.
So, I know we can't work, but let's get the friendship thing going. See you later.
Sure seems like he's staying, doesn't it?
Hey, paperboy, this was on your porch.
Thank you.
Leo runs to the front window. He watches Bob walk away wearing a "Don't hassle me, I'm local" t-shirt. Bob points at Leo and lumbers off.
Family conference! Family conference! All right. Now, I don't want any of you letting Bob into this house.
Why?
Why?
Sweetheart, aren't you overreacting just a little bit?
Good. Glad we're all in agreement. Family conference is over.
Anna and her mother exchange a tight-lipped glance. Sigmund looks down. Bob takes big strides down the empty country road. The lush trees glisten in the sun.
Nobody here. I'm completely alone. I'm all by myself. There's nobody here! Oh.
Bob spins and breaks into a run. Grinning, he zigzags across the pavement. Anna drives up several yards behind him. When she sees him, she smiles. Spotting the car, Bob slows to a walk. Anna pulls up next to him.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Where are you going?
Just going to town. Buy some Kleenex.
Will you want a ride?
I'd love one.
Bob retrieves a tissue to grab the handle.
Do a lot of people use this car?
Just us.
He stuffs the tissue back in his pocket.
So what's it like being the daughter of a brilliant analyst who's sleeping in the next bedroom at night when you need him? Is it great?
No, it's not great. I have problems the same as anyone else. The same as you.
You're afraid your bladder will explode? What other ones are the same? Like what? Like what?
Well, like analyzing everything to death to see if what I'm feeling is normal.
Yes, I have that, yeah.
Do you freeze up and
yes.
turn into wood when you're around a
yes.
good-looking guy and you don't even know if he likes you or not?
Well, not a guy, but yes, I freeze. You know what I do? I treat people as if they were telephones. If I meet somebody who I don't think likes me, I say to myself, Bob, this one's just temporarily out of order. You know, don't break the connection, just hang up and try again.
And does it work?
It seems to be. I'm on vacation at Lake Winnipesaukee, aren't I?
Do you want to come sailing with me on my friend George's boat?
No.
That's okay. You don't have to.
No, I'd love to. it sounds great. I've never been on a boat, and I don't think I can handle it. It just makes my lips numb to think about it. But if your friend is a good sailor and the craft is seaworthy, yes, I will go sailing. Yeah, let's go sailing. I have no other plans.
Smiling, Bob gazes at the lake.
I'm sailing! I'm sailing! I'm sailing!
Bob wears a huge orange life vest and is restrained by several ropes to the mast like a figurehead. Anna and her friends relax below him.
This is child abuse. If you drop me, I'll prosecute.
I'm not gonna let go until you're ready, okay? Trust me.
Put your hands out like I showed you.
Leo holds the back of Sigmund's shirt as he leans over the water.
I'm not ready. Do you hear me? I'm not ready. Don't drop me. I'm not ready.
Dr. Marin! I'm sailing!
Whoa!
How about that?
Oh, Siggy!
Oh! How about it?
Oh!
Murderer!
The Gutmans watch from their boat.
Hey, Dad! Hi, Dad!
Anna waves.
I sail!
Bob holds open his arms. At the marina, Leo half runs through the tourists. Anna and Bob's boat pulls up and Anna helps Bob down.
Anna! Anna, come here, please.
Dad!
Anna, I'd like to speak to you, please.
Dr. Marvin. Dr. Marvin, guess what? Ahoy!
I sail! I'm a sailor! I sail!
I'd like to talk to my daughter alone.
But isn't this a breakthrough?
I mean, that I'm a sailor? I sail? I sail now?
Keep sailing, Bob.
Out on a boat on the lake, way far away from the dock, with the wind of the wind with the sky and everything. Ahoy!
I thought I told you to stay away from Bob Wiley.
Daddy, I was with my friends. Where are we going?
Home.
Well, what about the car?
Leave it. It's been a long time since I've had a talk with my daughter.
He whips out the Leo puppet.
Oh, Daddy, not here.
Anna! 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 Anna!
Anna. I know you won't listen to your father, but you always listen to me. So I'm asking you not to see Bob Wiley.
Daddy, I am just...
I can't hear you. Where are you, Anna? Woo!
Anna grabs the Anna puppet and puts it on.
I am just having fun with my friends.
And Bob Wiley.
Yes, and Bob Wiley.
Bob Wiley is your father's patient.
Bob Wiley is a very sensitive person.
Your father's sensitive.
Bob listens to people.
Your father listens to people, except when he's up here in Lake Winnipesaukee.
He is fun! Oh.
Your father's... kind of fun.
She stomps away.
I'm Faye Marvin, Dr. Marvin's wife, and I'm very happy to be on your program. And these are our children, Anna and Siggy.
She smiles widely into the mirror, pauses, and then sneaks out of the bathroom. Downstairs, Leo sets the puppets aside and slumps up to their room. Sitting on a small sofa, Faye pretends to read. Leo leans in the doorway.
I'm a failure.
What?
Going on national television tomorrow as an expert in human behavior. In the space of the last hour, both of my children have told me that they hate me.
He sits on the bed. She joins him.
Come on, you know they don't mean it.
Anna accused me of being insensitive. No. No. What she actually said was I was insensitive and I didn't listen. And it wasn't any fun. And then Bob Wiley was.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
Still wearing his life jacket, Bob points hello to the Gutmans on their boat. They wave back. He walks onto the dock where Sigmund plays with a handheld video game.
You notice anything different about me?
No.
Do you sail?
No.
Well, I just picked it up. Wonder what I'm going to pick up next.
Try diving.
All right, diving.
I know a great teacher. I mean, my dad, he just dropped me in the water without warning me first. I mean, I nearly drowned. My whole life flashed before my eyes.
Well, you're lucky you're only 12.
It was still grim. I mean, what is it with him and Dive? Well, what's the big deal?
Well, Whoa.
Seeing the water, Bob ties his life jacket.
He probably just wants you to beat it, that's all. You know, he probably just wants you to dive because you're afraid of diving. Did I tell you I sailed on my first try? I just let the boat do the work. That was my secret. But with diving, what is the, what's the thing? What's the trick?
I don't know. It's supposed to be easy.
Well, can you give me a handle on it? Thanks. Careful. Oh, careful.
Just go to the edge.
Careful.
Go to the edge. Come on, toes up.
Sigmund drags Bob, who stops several feet from the edge.
Come on. Come on.
Let's call this the edge right here. This is the edge.
Okay, step up to the edge. Well, then walk up to our edge. Okay. Got you? Now bend your knees. Bend your knees.
Sigmund grabs Bob's shirt. Anna watches.
Bend your knees and be stiff as a board.
I am stiff as a board.
Now lean forward.
Just a second, don't rush it. Just a second. This is my first dive.
Bob balances on his toes.
Okay. Lean.
Wait, I can't see what you're doing. Why don't you, will you get in front?
Sigmund walks to the real edge.
Okay. All right, careful. Hold it. Wait.
Come up.
Okay.
Come on. Now hold my shirt. I'll show you what's
going to do. I got
it. Okay.
All right.
And bend my knees.
Bend your knees.
Lean forward.
Arms out straight.
Arms out.
Stiff as a board.
Honey, come here, look.
Leo joins Faye. Bob holds the dock with one hand and Sigmund's shirt with the other.
I don't want to have to see this. No, please.
One.
No.
Two.
Don't do it, please.
Three.
Bob lets Sigmund go. Sigmund dives perfectly into the water.
Yeah.
Very nice, Bob. Thank you. I'll take it from here.
You dove. That's wonderful. Did you see me dive, Dad? Did you see me dive? I dove.
Thank you. Excellent.
Here, watch this. I can do it again.
I'll take it from here.
Did you see that? Here, I'm going to do it again.
Thank you.
Leo shoves Bob.
Very nice.
Anna, Faye, and Sigmund drop to their knees to reach for Bob, who floats prone on his back. The gutmans glare at Leo.
Bob, kids!
What are you staring at? I had every right to find this out!
Am I going to die?
Arms outstretched, Bob kicks all the way under the dock to the other side. Later, Bob soaps up in an outdoor shower. Faye marches out with a towel. She ignores Leo and joins her scowling children. She towels off Sigmund.
Look, everybody, I'm not wrong often, but when I am, I admit it. I mean it. I would like you all to accept my apology.
Well, what about Bob?
What about Bob?
Yeah, Dad. Don't you think you should apologize to Bob?
I will not apologize to Bob.
Why not?
All right. I'll apologize to Bob.
A smile plastered on, Leo faces Bob, who leans on the shower raggedly. Bob puts up his hands like it's all right.
And now I'd like him to go.
Leo, why are you so hostile to the poor man?
Because he's a patient. Faye, don't you get it? He's a patient. A patient.
Mom, can we have Bob over for dinner?
Dinner?
Yeah.
I don't want Bob for dinner, Faye.
Leo, it's for the kids.
I don't want Bob for dinner, Faye. I want to think about my interview tomorrow.
I'm sorry, Leo. Right is right.
Bob smiles contentedly and rinses soap from his face. At dinner.
Oh.
Leo glares at Bob, a sneer settling on his face. Bob munches on the corn on the cob. The others hold back laughter as Bob smiles with every bite. Leo sucks his teeth.
Faye, this is so scrumptious. Is this hand shucked?
Would you like some more chicken, Bob?
He nods vigorously and takes another piece. Faye raises her eyebrows at Leo. Bob glances between them.
Leo, do you want the breast?
No, that's fine. Eat up.
Leo shoots a sideways glare at Bob and takes another bite of potatoes.
Great biscuits, huh, Bob?
Great biscuits, great corn, great potatoes.
You want some more salad, Bob?
Yeah, I think I do.
Anna smiles as she serves him.
Pile it high and deep, will you, please? Could you get that tomato off there, please? Thank you.
Oh. Bob shovels potatoes into his mouth.
This is delicious.
Will you stop that, please?
Bob jumps in his seat. Faye's face immediately goes cold. Leo ignores her and eats his chicken. Anna and Sigmund glance between Leo and Bob.
Leo, I see salt and pepper. Is there a salt substitute?
I'll get it.
Leo gets up from the table.
And don't call me Leo.
But you said in your office that I could call you Leo.
That was in my office. In my home, I'd like you to call me Dr. Marvin.
Leo stalks into the kitchen. Bob nods slowly.
He's just a little nervous about his interview tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I heard about your upcoming debut. Congratulations, Leo. Dr. Marvin.
Faye restrains a laugh.
Your book is going to do a lot of good for a lot of people. I'm walking proof of that.
Leo looks up.
Is this butter or margarine?
Dad? Dad, are you okay? Dad, honey?
Leo drops to his knees.
Don't panic. I know what to do.
Faye helps Leo to his feet, and Bob grabs his other arm.
Don't worry. I got him.
Bob wraps both arms around him and lifts him off the floor violently, attempting the Heimlich maneuver.
I'm doing the right thing.
No, he's still choking.
He's turning blue.
There's one other thing to do.
Bob hoists Leo onto the couch, facing down.
Daddy! Leo, honey, I love you. Breathe
harder, maybe with your knee more.
Hit him harder. Jump higher.
Bob repeatedly knees Leo in the back. Bob climbs off of him.
Dad! Bob, you saved you!
As Leo continues to recover, the others embrace Bob.
I just never gave up hope.
Rain pours outside the Marvin's house. Leo glares from the couch as Bob and the rest of his family toss dishes to each other.
With a bowl full of chicken and our twin fan, Leo, Dr. Marvin's refrigerator for the night.
Leo leans in the darkened doorway.
I don't like being a party poop, but tomorrow's very important. We better call it a night.
I don't want to be rude, but maybe it's time for Bob to sing his way home.
Honey, he can't walk home in this.
Did I say that? I'll drive him.
Oh, Dad, the car's still at the marina.
What?
You said to leave it, remember?
Well, train's got to let up soon. He can go home then.
Well, what if it starts up again?
He can borrow my slicker!
Lightning illuminates Leo's tense smile. Later, Bob, wearing Leo's yellow slicker, sits on the couch glumly between Anna and Sigmund. On the porch, Leo stares out at the pouring rain. Faye joins him.
Leo.
Shh. Leo.
Shh. I think it's letting up.
Leo, honey, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. We can't just make that poor fella just sit here all night. Now let's just let him stay over.
Faye! Good morning, America. We'll be here at 7 o'clock. You don't want them to find a severely disturbed patient sleeping on one of my couches when they get here?
There's an extra bed in Sicky's room.
Faye!
Leo, you were very upset over Anna and Sicky. Oh, now here's your chance to show them what kind of a guy Leo Marvin really is. We'd love for you to spend the night.
That's a great idea.
Do you have a Dacron pillow?
Sure, sure. Anna, would you get a pillow and some sheets for Bob?
Sure.
Vicky, would you get one of your father's robes for Bob?
Yeah.
Are you sure I'm not imposing?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
In a pair of Leo's pajamas, Bob shuffles into Sigmund's room.
You care which bed?
Well, I'd prefer facing southeast.
This.
They drag the bed.
Did you find a toothbrush?
Yes.
Faye, do you know where my new toothbrush is?
It's in the bathroom.
Oh, I know it should be in the bathroom, darling, but it's not in the bathroom.
Just because you're going on television tomorrow, well, this doesn't give you any right to be so snippy.
It is not that that is making me snippy. It's him.
Him who? Bob?
Yes, Bob! Who else am I talking about?
Shh. Quiet, he'll hear you.
Well, so what if he hears me? It's my house, isn't it? Don't you get it? He faked suicide, huh?
Well, isn't that a cry for help?
What is the matter with all of you? Don't you understand? This man is crazy. I mean, for all we know, the guy could be a mass murderer.
Oh, come on, Leo. He's a sweet guy. He's perfectly harmless. Maybe a little neurotic, but not crazy.
Don't you realize that everything he's done violates the doctor-patient relationship, and now he's in there? With our son?
In Sigmund's room.
Bob?
Yeah?
Are you afraid of death?
Bob's eyes dart around as he considers Sigmund.
Yeah?
Me too. And there's no way out of it. You're going to die. I'm going to die. It's going to happen. And what difference does it make if it's tomorrow or in 80 years? Much sooner in your case. Do you know how fast time goes? I was 6, like yesterday.
Me too.
I'm going to die. You are going to die.
Bob's eyes widen.
What else is there to be afraid of?
Well, not diving anymore, huh?
Sigmund smiles.
But, Tourette's syndrome.
What's Tourette's syndrome?
Bob grins, his blue eyes on the ceiling.
What's Tourette's syndrome?
Leo in the mirror.
Oh, I'm very proud of Baby Steps. Very encouraged by its success. I think the greatest challenge to me, aside from writing, was in finding
ways... Shepherd brains! Butthead! Dingleberry butt!
Snutface!
Vulture vomit!
Turkey tits!
Open this door. Sigmund! Sigmund, open this door immediately.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Sorry.
Bob covers up with a pillow.
What is going on around here?
Sigmund and Bob glance at each other.
It's threats, Dad. Threats.
I'm sorry, dear. Leo. Dr. Marvin.
I don't want to hear another peep out of this room. People are trying to sleep around here.
Honey, it's just kids being kids.
Well, tomorrow is the most important day of my career.
Well, sorry. We'll stop.
We just got carried away. It'll never happen again.
I want you out of here by 6:30. Do you understand me? The camera crew is coming at 7. I want you out by 6:30.
Leo straightens.
Sure. Would you like something for sleep?
What?
Buy a Valium if you need it.
No, I don't need any Valium.
Halcyon? Seconal?
I want some peace and quiet.
Well, I'll be quiet.
I'll be peace.
Even Faye grins. Leo glowers at all of them before walking out.
Come on, Bob. Come on, here we go. Now, we've just got to get your father to Good Morning America tomorrow. Bob gave me a great thing to be afraid of instead of death. That's nice, sweetie.
Faye kisses her son's forehead.
That's very nice, Bob.
She touches Bob's face.
Night, fellas.
Mrs. Ham. Mm-hmm. Could you leave the door open just a crack?
Okie dokie.
Bob settles into the bed. He removes the tissue from the pajamas pocket. He stares at it a moment, then he crushes it in his hands and tosses it. He rolls on his side and goes to sleep. The lake shimmers pink in the red dawn. Leo stomps into his son's room.
6 o'clock, Bob. Time to wake up. Come on, let's go. Come on, Bob. Get up. Bob. Come on, Bob. Bob, rise and shine. Come on. Bob. Come on, Bob. Get up. Bob. Bob.
He shakes him.
Bob!
Sigmund awakes.
Bob! Get up. Come on. Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. Anna, go get the car right now. Come on, Bob. Come on. Bob. 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 Bob, cock-a-doodle-doo! Bob! Bob! Oh!
Bob groggily opens his eyes. He smiles at Faye and Leo gaping at him.
Hi.
In the living room, Leo arranges the Freud bust. His shirt is untucked, and he has bits of tissue clotting shaving cuts on his face.
Honey, relax.
Leo tries to settle into his chair.
Stepping down the stairs, baby, stepping down the stairs. Success. Is this a beautiful morning or what?
Get out.
I had the most incredible dream last
night. Leave.
Goodbye, Mrs. M. See you later.
Bye-bye, Bob.
Bye, Anna.
Bye, Bob.
Goodbye, rat dick suck nut.
Bye, George. This is Barbie.
Piggy!
Later, testicle head, bosom beaver. Good morning, America's here.
Leo, Faye, and Anna jump up to see the three news vans in the driveway. Leo struggles to tuck in his shirt as a woman and two men head for the porch.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Marie Grady.
Hi.
Lifestyle reporter with Good Morning America.
I'm a big fan. I watch your stuff all the time.
Gee, I hope we're not too early.
No, not at all.
I'm Howie Cottrell, the director.
Hi.
And this is our producer, Lenny Burns.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Nice to meet you.
Well, may we come in?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. This is our home, and, I was thinking of something by the fire.
It's a fireplace shot, fellas.
This is even nicer than the pictures.
Thank you.
Is, this your family?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
He stays put in his armchair.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. This is my wife, Faye.
Hi.
Faye points to her chin.
Oh,
He peels off the bits of tissue.
And, this is my, my daughter, Anna.
Hi.
Hi.
And, my son,
Siggy.
Siggy!
Oh, hi, I'm Marie.
Hello, Marie, I'm Bob.
Yes, this was Bob. He's a patient, he lives down the road.
Dr. Marvin, what a great idea. A baby stepper in action.
What?
Howie, Dr. Marvin's gonna have a patient on with him.
Fine, Lenny, let's not shoot this fireplace. Let's set up over here and shoot.
Whoa! Wait a minute.
No problem, Dr. Marvin. We can still use the fireplace. You on one side and Bob on the other.
Leo glances wildly between Bob and the news people.
I don't think it's such a good idea to have a patient on with me.
It is.
It is?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
What better way to show the effectiveness of your book than to have a patient on with you?
I think it's a fire patient.
What?
Right. May I speak to you outside for just 1 second? Thank you so much. I worked very hard to get where I am. Do you understand me?
Well, schooling alone, yes.
I do not want you on the show with me. Do you understand?
I think
now
I do.
Make
tell
up
me.
Some excuse.
Dr. Marvin, Bob, can we have you in here for a minute, please?
I can't. Dr. Marvin doesn't want
me.
No?
No, get in there. They're waiting for us.
Okay.
Right this way.
Seated next to each other at the fireplace, Bob smiles widely at Leo, who ignores him.
In 3, 2, 1.
We're back, and we are going now to lifestyle reporter Marie Grady in Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire. And Marie, what is so special about Lake Winnipesaukee?
Well, Joan, among other things, it's the summer home of Dr. Leo Marvin, author of the newest sensation in therapy, Baby Steps. And with Dr. Marvin is Bob Wiley, who is a patient and obviously a big fan of Baby Steps therapy. Good morning, Dr. Marvin. Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, clearly, come on national television, live, with a patient, shows a remarkable amount of confidence in your methods.
Everyone jumps and stares as Bob breathes heavily into a paper bag.
False alarm. Sorry.
Okay. Good. Now, Dr. Marvin, exactly how does baby steps work on someone like Bob?
Well, Joan, I'm very proud of Baby Steps and enormously gratified by its success. I think the greatest challenge, aside from the writing, is finding ways to make the ideas within it accessible to laymen as well as to my colleagues.
Bob, tell us your impressions of Baby Steps.
Mashed potatoes and gravy, Marie. I couldn't be happier about Baby Steps. I was a total disaster, and now, because of this man... This morning I'm on TV in front of, you know, millions of people. I don't even think Dr. Marvin knows what the heck's going on. He can't believe what's going on. I'm very excited.
You know, it sounds like a very intriguing process. How long have you been a patient of Dr. Marvin's?
Well, 3 or 4 days.
3 or 4 days?
Excuse me. Book is not really meant to work that quickly. It only worked that quickly with Boob. Bob.
You can call me Boob.
I don't want to call you Boob.
Even if you do it as an accident, it's okay.
No, I really don't want to call him Boob. The book isn't, you know, meant to work that quickly.
But it did work that way. That's the miracle of Baby Steps, is that it's not just this book. It's this man. It's the compassion. It's the dignity. It's the wisdom. It's the horse sense of the guy that gets you and has turned me... He actually had me stay here last night in his jammies, using his toothbrush, in his house. And I spent the day swimming and sailing with his family. Faye and Anna and Siggy, come here.
Oh, Faye, can they?
Here's the fam, the Marvins. This is Faye and Anna and Siggy, whom I went diving with yesterday. And Dr. Marvin accidentally pushed me in.
You have a very nice family.
Thank you.
A tech beckons them.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
As Faye and the kids shuffle off, Bob steals Leo's seat.
Marie, you're wise. What do I say to someone who has turned my whole life around, who has given up so much of their time and their vacation to make me better? What I'd really like to do is put the greatness of this man in perspective. I think there's really only three names. Dr. Albert Schweitzer, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, probably, and Leo Marvin.
The book is Baby Steps. The author is Dr. Leo Marvin, and we've been talking with Bob Wiley. Pretty impressive stuff, Bob. Dr. Marvin, back to you, Joan.
Way to go, Bobby!
The Gutmans high five in front of their TV. Meanwhile,
that was wonderful, Bob.
Thank you very much, Marie.
Can we come back in a few months and update your progress?
As long as it's okay with my doctor.
What? Oh, absolutely. That's a very good idea.
Okay, great.
Come on, Dad, we're taking a picture.
Come on, Dr. Marvin.
Come on, Dad.
Get out of here, potato. Come on.
No. You got it.
All right. Okay, ready?
How long are you planning on staying up here?
Just till Labor Day, and then we're all going back to New York City.
Okay, big smiles, everybody.
Leo's smile falls as he backs further into the house.
Oh, goodbye, Marie.
Bye-bye.
You were great, Bob.
You really were.
You were incredible. I mean, Dad choked. You saved him.
Head hanging, Leo grips the back of his chair.
Really great. Here's the one who made it happen. Dr. Leo Marvin.
Leo blinks furiously.
Get out.
No, we won't get out. We won't. You deserve it.
I mean, get out! Get out!
Is it something I said?
You've ruined my life! You've ruined my career! You've ruined my book! You've turned a perfectly peaceful house into an insane asylum! Get out!
Daddy!
Oh my God, Leo, what's gotten into you?
It was a disaster, Faye!
No, it wasn't! You were wonderful,
you
sweetie!
You're fine, Dad!
Yeah! Why'd you need to kick Bob out of the house?
You think he's gone? He's not gone! That's the whole point! He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see!
Bob and the family sit on the porch.
We can't be expected to understand him. He's so far above us. We're like ropes on the Goodyear blimp.
Are you all right?
I want to apologize to you for that terrible outburst. I'm truly sorry. Call it a case of show business nerves.
Well, we can all certainly understand that.
A lot of people freeze on TV, Dad.
Thank you. Bob, how would you feel about you and me having a little talk?
Just me and you?
Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to spend a little time with you. Pay you back for all the time you spent with me. What do you say? You feel like going for a little ride?
Do I?
This is so sweet.
It's really great of you, Dad.
It's really nice.
Look how happy he is.
Leo smiles, eyes dark. He waves to his family.
Try to be home by 7.
Bob nods and holds a finger to his lips as they head down the driveway. Leo's station wagon peels down a small country road.
Where are we going?
Intensive psychotherapy.
Wahoo! Okay, some free associations from my infancy. A beach ball, a dog, a frog, a log, a poodle, a noodle, a doodle.
Leo covers his face with his hand. He pulls up to a white security booth.
Dr. Marvin to see Dr. Tomsky.
Dr. Leo Marvin?
Main building, doctor. They're expecting you. Hey, you're Bob Wiley, aren't you?
Yeah.
I saw you on TV. You were great.
Leo sneers. He steers the car down a long driveway surrounded by green lawns. People in all white mill about. He parks in front of a big white institution.
Hello, Leo. Long time no see. Sorry I missed your show this morning. Well, is this the friend you called about?
Bob Wiley. I'd like you to meet your new pal, Dr. Tomsky.
Hello, Bob.
New pal? What's wrong with my old pal?
Would you show Mr. Wiley to his room, please?
Two orderlies grab Bob.
Oh, no, wait a second. Doctor? Wiley? Doctor, you're coming with, aren't you? Fellas, I have convulsions. My bladder is feeling funny. Fellas!
They drag Bob into the building.
Really appreciate you helping me out on this, Catherine.
I can only hold him for 24 hours, Leo, without staff corroboration.
I'm not worried about that in the least. I'm sure your entire staff will corroborate. Thank you. Thank you very much, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
He struts to his car.
Ah, you see, Bob, I will not be defeated. I will negotiate and I will compromise, but defeat? Cigarette, Bob? Oh, sorry. Didn't realize you were in a straitjacket.
Leo pulls up to his lake house. Gets out of the car and dances on his way inside.
Honey, Catherine Tomsky's on the phone.
Hello? What? No! No!
Where's Bob?
Son of a bitch!
Honey?
The entire staff laughs around Bob in the empty cafeteria.
But it reminds me of my favorite poem, which is, roses are red, violets are blue, I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I.
Leo peels up to the hospital. He dashes inside.
What do you think of when you see this? It says sex.
Leo follows Bob's voice. He stops in the doorway.
He draws a picture of a tree. He says, what do you think of that? What do you think? He says, sex. All right. And he draws a picture of a car, a house. Sex, sex, sex. The doctor says, you know, you're obsessed with sex. And the patient says, well, you're the one drawing all the dirty pictures.
Catherine joins him.
I'm giving you back your admitting form, Leo, to save you any embarrassment.
Embarrassing? Catherine, you have been duped by a textbook narcissist, a brilliant sociopath.
Brilliant enough to dupe my entire staff? I doubt that. Now, it's perfectly natural for a patient to bond with his analyst.
Oh, it's not that!
If you want to be rid of him, just tell him you won't treat him anymore.
Catherine, that's easy for you to say. The man is human crazy glue.
No, you should never have let him sleep in your pajamas, Leo.
No, oh, I can't believe that I'm hearing this.
Relax, Leo.
I'm relaxed.
Take a vacation.
I'm on vacation!
Maybe you should check in here for a few days. Get a handle on things.
They look in at Bob and the staff. Later, in the car.
It was an interesting morning, fruitful, but it lacked the intensity that you and I generate together, the sparks that we get one-on-one. We just got to figure out a way to work around your schedule. Could we work afternoons? 2 to 4, 3 to 5, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Leo stalks to the passenger door.
Are you saying you'd rather work mornings? It's a combustible relationship, isn't it? Is it just you and me, or is it you and everybody?
Leo drives off, leaving Bob alone on the road.
What is this, isolation therapy?
Leo checks his side mirror. Moments later, he watches the officer write him a ticket. Bob rides by in a gray pickup truck.
Ahoy! Excuse me, officer. Can you make sure he's home by 7?
Bob grins, mouths 7, and holds up 7 fingers.
Hey, didn't I see that guy on TV?
Glowering, Leo takes the ticket. The officer rides off on his motorcycle. Glaring, Leo starts his own car and reverses into a traffic sign. He gets out. He's flattened a rear tire with the sign's broken pole. He rips off his jacket.
Certainly very shrewd, Bob. Really, very shrewd. You stayed free, and I wrecked my car. And it's over, Bob.
A red car whizzes by, spraying mud all over Leo. He slowly examines himself.
Oh, damn. Son of a bitch, Bob!
At night, Leo kicks the door open, disheveled.
I'm home!
Tie undone, clothes ruined, he searches the darkness.
Hey!
We're out here, sweetie!
Frowning, Leo limps through the dimly lit kitchen onto the back porch. Leo blinks unbelievably at the backyard full of people, the lights, and the awaiting cake. They hold their drinks up as Leo unconsciously places his palm on the window. Mouth open, Leo limps to the stairs leading into the backyard. He squints as they shine a spotlight on him, revealing how filthy he is. He straightens his tie and pats his hair.
Dad, what happened?
Dad.
Honey, you're a mess. Are you all right?
Oh, yeah. I just had a little car trouble.
Oh, on your birthday? Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday, Leo.
Happy birthday, Leo!
Sweetie, we have a great big surprise for you. Your sister Lily's here from Chicago. Happy birthday, Leo.
Lily!
We're all here for you, Dr. M. This is your night.
Don't touch my sister!
Leo leaps off the stairs, flying toward Bob. He pins him to the ground, and they roll into a table of presents as the party guests swarm them. Arms crossed, Faye stares at Leo's back in their room.
I've never seen him like this, Phil.
He's been under a lot of stress, Faye. His book, his interview, which frankly didn't go so well.
And his birthday.
Exactly. It's a lot to bite off all at once. Sedative's probably taking effect. He should be sleeping now.
Faye leads the doctor out. Wide awake, Leo's eyes dart back and forth as he listens.
Phil, do you think Leo was surprised?
Oh, I think so.
How is he?
I'm leaving a prescription for Prozac.
Excuse me, Phil, but with these particular symptoms, is Prozac the right choice?
You think Prozac is a mistake?
Now, this kind of manic episode, I would think that Librium might be a more effective management tool.
You could be right. I'll rewrite the prescription.
Bob, why do you think Leo went after you like that?
I don't know. He's been tense today. But don't worry. No matter how long it takes, I'm going to stay on and help out the family. I'll just be the daddy. Oh,
you are such a good friend. Leo's lucky to have you.
Bob watches Lily go, enamored. Leo flies out of bed.
Sweetie.
Oh, no problem. I'll be all right. Bye.
It's been a real pleasure.
Keep me posted.
Okay.
Bye, Aunt Lily.
Good
night. Bye-bye, Lily.
Good night, Lily.
Bye.
Bye, Lily.
Bye.
Bye.
Lips tightened in a small smile. Bob pops his eyebrows and goes inside. Now fully dressed, Leo sneaks out an upstairs window. In the living room,
so hard, Bob. But now listen, we're not defending Leo's recent behavior in any way, so please don't take this personally.
No.
But we've been thinking that however irrational the reasons, Leo's just so upset with you right now that
We just think it would be best if you're not here when he wakes up. Please, it's not the way I want it.
Me either.
Or me.
You want me to go?
I'm sorry.
Really?
Goodbye, green puking piss ant.
Later, barf breath douche mouth.
Goodbye, Bob.
Bye, Anna.
Take care of yourself.
Okay, and you take care of Leo. Just temporarily disconnected, that's all. You know, I've got to tell you, I've had the greatest vacation with y'all. Y'all. I am country now.
He leaves. Meanwhile, with the butt of his flashlight, Leo smashes a window door bearing a closed sign. He reaches inside to unlock it. Once inside the store, he searches wildly. He sweeps his light over a display of revolvers.
No, too messy.
Then, over the arrows.
No, not painful enough.
He creeps over to a sign that reads, "Explode away ugly stumps with Stump Out. Fast, easy, permanent." He shines his light on the explosives.
Yes!
Sliding open their display case, he starts taking them out. Back at the house.
He's not at the dock.
He's not downstairs.
Let's get in the car.
Come on. No, maybe he went for a walk.
I think that's how mass murderers start. No one sees it coming, then snap!
Bob wanders the road alone, checking the air periodically with his hand. He peers into the darkness, then behind him at a branch on a tree. Eyes wide in terror, he shakes his head as he scans the forest.
Hello? Oh, gosh. Dr. Marvin.
He turns back.
Dr. Leo Marvin. Dr. Marvin.
A rifle edges toward his back.
Dr. Marvin!
Hello, Bob.
What are you doing with the rifle?
Get back!
What are you doing with that?
Quick! Stand there!
They hide off the road behind a tree.
Daddy! Where are you? Leo!
There goes the fam.
Shh, be very quiet. And do exactly as I say. Turn around. Now move.
What are we up to?
Death therapy, Bob. It's a guaranteed cure.
Wow! Should I put my hands up?
Yes, that's good. Do that.
All right, which way?
To the left. To the left, yes.
Leo ties up Bob.
It's so right that you and I have come together, isn't it, Dr. Marvin? I know it was meant to be.
You think so, Bob?
Yes. Because it's time. And I'm ready. With Dr. Carswell Fenstewald, I wasn't ready. With Dr. Rosengay and Benchesky, it wasn't time. I certainly wasn't ready for Mallerstein or Miller or Hill. But with you, finally, I'm ready.
The only significant difference between those other guys and me, Bob, is that I'm going to kill you.
But if you shoot me, then our therapy will be over.
I'm not going to shoot you, Bob. I don't think I could shoot anybody. I am going to blow you up. This is called black powder, Bob. One teaspoon of this stuff can blow up a tree stump. There we go.
And how much is this?
20 pounds worth.
He hangs the powder around Bob's neck.
You understand, don't you? There's no other solution. You won't go away.
I will.
No, you won't. You're just saying you will. But then, after I don't kill you, you'll show up again. And you'll do something else to make everyone in my life think you're wonderful, and I'm a schmuck. But I'm not a schmuck, Bob. And I'm not going to let you breeze into town and take my family away from me just because you're crazy enough to be fun.
Leo sets the timer on each bag.
Oh!
You'll take care of Gil for me?
Yeah, don't worry. I'll feed him till he's big and fat. And then I'll eat him, Bob.
You sure are convincing, Dr. M.
Leo leaves Bob tied to fallen trees with two pink lunchboxes full of powder around his neck.
This is tricky.
Leo scrambles onto the road.
What? Oh, it's terrible news, Faye. Well, he did try to commit suicide once before. Maybe we should have seen it coming. More fish, anyone?
I'm all tied up. Yeah, that's it. You're saying I'm all tied up inside. Okay. I'm all tied up inside, and these phony bombs mean that if I don't untie myself inside the emotional knots, I'm going to explode. Yeah. Oh, it's so simple, yet so brilliant. Okay, Dr. M. I get it. Baby step. Untie your knots.
He struggles to free himself. Leo reaches his house.
Free! Free!
Bob flings off the ropes with relish.
Dr. M!
He dashes into the woods, the bomb still hanging around his neck. Leo dances down his dock.
Dr. Marvin, you did it! You did it! Leo! Oh, Leo, I'm free!
Bob runs through the woods holding the bomb bags. He reaches the house and sprints inside. Leo sits on the dock and looks out over the lake.
On Tuesday, we'll eat Gil. On Wednesday, we'll eat Bob. No, that's going too far.
Dad! Daddy! Dad! Dad, are you all right?
I'm fine. Really, thank you for asking. I'm fine now. Bob's gone.
I know, sweetie.
You do? How? I didn't hear it go off.
Bob comes out of the house, lit birthday cake in hand.
Boy, he's a jolly good fellow.
It's Bob!
Boy, he's a jolly good fellow.
Bob! Just leave.
No, no!
Please.
No!
Leo Marvin's a genius! Your death therapy cured me, you genius!
What are you doing here?
You cured me, Docco.
Bob, the bags I put around your neck, Bob, where are they?
In the house? Why?
The house explodes in a blinding light of fire. The Freud bust hits the grass in front of the family.
Sweetie, our house.
Oops.
Leo stares unbelievably at the flames.
Burn! 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 Burn!
The Gutmans grin from their boat. Chainlink covers a glass window. Leo sits in a chair within the institution, a blanket over his lap, and a half-made wicker basket dangling from one hand.
I don't know if it'll help, but try.
Come in, sweetie. Leo? Sweetie? Leo? Can you hear me?
Daddy, it's me, Anna.
Leo, it's me, Lily, your sister.
We don't care about the house. Come back to us. The worst is over.
Yeah, Dad. How much worse can it get?
Do you, Bob Wiley, take Lily Marvin to be your lawful wedded wife, to love, honor, and cherish till death do you part?
I do.
Do you, Lily Marvin, take Bob Wiley to be your lawful wedded husband, to love, honor, and cherish till death do you part?
I do.
If anyone here knows any reason why these two should not be joined together in holy matrimony, speak now, or forever hold your peace.
Catatonic in a blue bathrobe, Leo looks up at the altar. Faye glances at him.
Then by the power vested in me by the state of New York, I pronounce you man and wife.
No!
Leo jumps from his wheelchair.
Dad's back!
Daddy!
Leo!
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 I'm married, Leo!
Leo's family embraces him. Bob kisses his cheek. Leo snarls, then shrugs. Words appear. Bob went back to school and became a psychologist. He then wrote a huge bestseller, Death Therapy. Leo is suing him for the rights. Fade to black. Costume designer Bernie Pollack. Production designer Les Dilley. Director of Photography, Michael Ballhouse. Touchstone Pictures, all rights reserved. This motion picture was created by Walt Disney Pictures and Television for the purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution, Inc. On the porch, Bob rings an iron bell attached to the house, a wildflower bouquet in one hand. A blue bar crosses a black background and condenses into a circle, Touchstone Pictures. A golden light slides along the letters and flashes into a lightning bolt through the circle.